These Lord's Day mornings, we are looking at a representative text from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, perhaps greatest prophet of Israel. And this morning, we go to a passage that is a rich passage in both its theological depth, but also its practical invitation. One commentator has compared Isaiah chapter 54, the chapter before the chapter we read, to the book of Revelation, with its vision of the new Jerusalem, and compares Isaiah 55 to the Gospel of John, this passionate appeal that our eyes would be opened to the richness of the gifts God offers so freely in the Gospel, and to grasp them in repentance and faith while there is time. So there is this threefold invitation. Come, come. Come, God says. Water for the thirsty, food for the poor, wine and milk, the richness of the provision. Come, God says, not to a bare minimum, but to a feast for those who can never afford that provision. So here is God inviting us as he lavishes blessings on the undeserving and on the spiritually destitute. And that threefold come of verse 1 is matched in verse 2 by a threefold listen. Come, listen. Incline your ear. Come, incline your ear. And hear. Come, hear. And what we are to listen to, and what the people in Isaiah's time were invited to listen to, was to the word of God. And then verse 3 reminds us that the salvation of the Lord will come through the Messiah, through a descendant of David, the servant of the Lord. But the great servant of the Lord, Jesus Christ, whose life and work, whose death and resurrection Isaiah prophesies all the way through this book. So Isaiah speaks of the sure mercies of David, the covenant, the promise that God made with the king, King David, promising him that a descendant would come. The Messiah would come, the rescuer would come, and who would rule over God's kingdom forever. And the Lord invites anyone and everyone to trust in that Messiah, to enter the Messiah's kingdom, to enjoy the Messiah's blessing. And the Messiah's kingdom will draw its citizens from every nation in the world. Verse 5. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you. But those who wish to come to Messiah's kingdom, those who want to enter the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, must repent and turn from their sinful ways. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There is an urgency to that appeal. Seize the opportunity while it lasts. And what follows then are statements that explain that urgent summons and appeal and invitation. Come. In verse 8, which is repeated in verse 9, come, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Come for that reason. And then verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So come for that reason, says the Lord. And then verse 12, four again, for you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So come for that reason. So it's like a pattern in this chapter. Three times, come, 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 God says. Water, milk, wine. Listen, incline your ear, hear, for this reason, for this reason, for this reason. And the transcendence of God, the greatness of God, the wonder of who God is one of the reasons why you should come and trust in the Lord this morning. For there's a great abyss, a great chasm that separates human beings from the Creator God. And a still more deep and great chasm that separates sinful human beings from a holy God. So God summons us, everyone, come to him. Find pardon, find peace, find welcome. And that's what we have in this text before us this morning. With so many others in the Bible, what is referred to as the free offer of the gospel. It's free because we cannot earn it or pay for it. And it's an offer because God wants you to come to him this morning. He hopes you will come to him. The Lord says very clearly to anyone, everyone, that he offers salvation, eternal life, pardon for sin for anyone and everyone who will come. Yes, you must repent of sin because you cannot truly trust him and follow him if you are living in defiance of his will. But if you repent and turn to him, he stands ready to give you salvation. And you'll experience this abundant pardon for your sins. So many times in the book of Isaiah, many times in other places in the Bible, the Lord God speaks in these terms. We think perhaps of the Lord Jesus Christ, very similar and equally wonderful invitation at the end of Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Or that assurance that Jesus adds to the invitation in John 6, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Anyone who comes to Jesus Christ this morning in faith will find a welcome. That salvation is for everyone who will believe. Come to the waters. Come to Jesus Christ. Come to the Saviour and you will find rest for your soul. Forsake your sins. Come to Jesus Christ, who alone can save you. Come to Jesus Christ, who can take you to heaven. Come to Jesus Christ. Entrance is free. And there is a welcome for you. And through the ages, millions of people have responded in faith and found life in Jesus Christ. And have found that what Isaiah says is true, that in coming to Jesus Christ, they have gone out with joy and be led out with peace. And the Lord's renown has spread throughout the world as multitudes of people in all the nations have discovered that the person who has the Son of God this morning has life. So this free offer of the gospel, this well-meant offer of the gospel, is deeply woven into the salvation that the Bible describes. And it's even illustrated by those occasions when the Bible speaks of the unbelieving who will not come. There is that lament of the Lord Jesus Christ from the depths of his heart, when he cried out because of the unbelief of the Jews of his day. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Are you willing this morning to come? Come, says Jesus Christ. As the Lord pleaded with the Jews to come to the waters, God pleads with you in the gospel this morning to come to him. And yet, despite the miracles that Jesus performed, that showed that he was the Messiah who had come from the Father, no matter the teaching of Jesus Christ, so full of light and truth and love, no matter his remarkable character, that in him there was no sin at all. Still, there were people who would not come. Such is the stubbornness of the human heart, and such is human pride, that would refuse the gift of salvation and turn away from God rather than respond to his call. So lying behind this invitation of Isaiah this morning is the fact that the Lord wants all people to be saved, all who hear this word this morning. God wants you to be saved. He does not desire the death of the wicked, but that all should come to repentance. That you would come to the waters this morning and be cleansed and pardoned and forgiven, and that you would seek the Lord while he might be found. So that leads us to these words in Isaiah 55 then. If redemption has been accomplished by the finished work of Jesus Christ in his life, death and resurrection, then there is no surprise that God comes forward with these words of welcome this morning. Not just to some few, not just for those who can pay their way, but for everyone. So I want to look at who are invited, what are they offered, and what are they told to do in order to receive these blessings. So let's look at Isaiah 55 and ask those questions. First of all, who are invited? Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. God, as it were, raises his voice with a cry of pity. Ho, God says, listen. And the first kind of people God invites to come to him are thirsty people. People who cannot pay for what they need. And it may be you are in that category this morning. You come here this morning and there is a thirst in your heart. Your heart feels like the scorched grass in a time of drought, when the grass is withered and dry because it hasn't rained for a long time. And you're thirsty. A lot of hopes have dried up. Dreams have waned and almost died. There are dead end streets, empty, unfulfilled, unsatisfied. Knowing there has to be something more to life. But you come thirsty, no money, no strength, no motivation, but at least a thirst. And the Lord says to you, you're just the candidate I'm after. If you're thirsty, come. No resources, no bargaining power, no track record, no prestige, no pull, but thirsty. God says to you, come. Come to the gospel feast. You come. If you're thirsty this morning, God invites you, come. But then there's a second description of people whom God invites. In verse 2, why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? In verse 1, God says, even if you have no money, come. But in verse 2, he says to someone who has money, the first kind of person is spiritually bankrupt and knows it. The first kind of person is thirsty and knows it. But the second person isn't quite there yet. The person who has money and is laboring, is earning wages, but still the result is frustration. The person in verse 1, burnt out at the end of the tether, unhappy, unsatisfied. But this second sort of person is still working, still spending, still dreaming, still chasing. Different job, different city, different car, different house, different wife, new computer, new boat, new books, new mobile, new bike, new season ticket, new diet, new looks. This person is still looking, but still there's that heart frustration. No pot at the end of the rainbow. No fountain of youth. The job is boring. The style passes. The options get fewer and fewer. And this person also knows that there's a longing deep in the heart. No matter how much self-sufficiency there may appear to be on the outside, because God knows you better than you know yourself. And God has you in mind when he says, why do you spend your money for bread which is not bread? And work at dreams that do not satisfy. So all sorts of people are invited here. The thirsty who are penniless and cannot pay. And the thirsty who think they can pay and think that they can find satisfaction somehow, somewhere, but know deep down they're still unsatisfied. And in a way, everyone falls into one of those two groups. Thirsty, no money. Thirsty with money, but still restless, unsatisfied, unfulfilled. But all are invited. You are invited this morning. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. So what is offered to those who are thirsty? Well, blessings are offered. And the quality of those blessings is described. And the reality behind the pictures of those blessings is given. The blessings, water, wine, and milk. Don't those three drinks correspond to the deep needs that everyone has? Water corresponds to the need for refreshment when you're most thirsty. When you're dehydrated, it's water that you want. The Bible describes us as like sheep going astray, and the Lord is the one who leads me beside the still waters. Sheep will not drink from fast running water, but sheep will drink from still, quiet waters. God invites you this morning to refreshment, to restoration, to reviving, to cleansing, to a new beginning. Come to the water. But then milk corresponds to the need for ongoing nourishment. When someone is desperately thirsty, you give them water. But when you want a little baby to grow day after day, you give the baby milk again and again. God is not just for the emergencies. He invites you to come, find life with water, but also to be strengthened and nourished. And to grow with milk. And wine corresponds to celebration. We want to live and not die. We want to be strong instead of weak and wavering. But no matter how stoic or phlegmatic or laid back you may be this morning, there is a heart inside every one of us that God has made for celebration. For shouting and singing and dancing and playing and running and jumping and laughing and celebration. So what verse 1 says, God is willing to revive you from the heat of the Sahara Desert with the miracle of his water and make you strong and healthy and stable with the miracle of his milk and then give you endless celebration and joy with the miracle of his wine. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. The word good there means top quality. The best there is. And the abundance means there's a lot of it. There's enough for you this morning. The psalmist says, you crown the year with your goodness and your paths drip with abundance. The water is good and plentiful. The milk is good and plentiful. The wine is good and plentiful. And the Bible loves to speak of the riches of God's grace. The fullness of joy at his right hand. Jesus said, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water welling up to everlasting life. And what is behind all this imagery of water, milk, wine? Well, verse 3 tells us where God says, incline your ear and come to me. Come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. So these invitations, come to the water. Come, drink the milk. Come, drink wine. They're explained by God saying it's a picture of coming to him. God is our living water. God is our nourishing milk. God is our exhilarating wine. So the psalmist says, whom have I in heaven but you, O Lord? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And we can be even more specific, because the Lord goes on to say in verse 3 that as we come to him, it is through a covenant, a promise. What kind of covenant? What kind of promise? The same kind of covenant promise that he made with King David. A covenant of sure mercies. So that means when you come to God, he binds himself to you by covenant, by promise, by an unbreakable oath to pursue you with goodness and mercy all the days of your life, right until he takes you home to eternity. With ever refreshing water and ever strengthening milk and ever exhilarating wine. And it's forever and forever and forever. So who are invited? You are invited. And what is offered? Come, God says. Water, wine, milk, come. And how do you get these blessings? Well, there are 12 words in verses 1 to 3 in Isaiah chapter 55. The most pleasant and inviting and welcoming words you'll ever hear. And I'll point them out if we read it again together. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come. Buy and eat. Yes, come. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear to me and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. God invites you to come now. And as you ponder those words for a moment, you see, they call on you to listen to the invitation of God. Take heed how you hear. Are you listening to God's word this morning? But God then pleads with you, don't let the false adverts of this world drown out this invitation of God for pardon and cleansing in heaven. Come, buy, eat. Enjoy. This is what the Bible means by faith. It's what Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. In 1622, a Spanish ship Our Lady of Atocha, sailed from the Spanish colonies in the Americas back towards Spain. And the Atocha was laden down with so much gold from mines in South America that it had taken 2 months to load the gold into the ship. But just off what is now called the Florida Keys, a hurricane struck, and the ship, the Atocha, sank. And for centuries, that treasure was hidden somewhere underwater. And an American named Mel Fisher was determined to find it. He set himself to seek. He fitted out a ship. He recruited divers. He used all modern technology to search the ocean floor. Fisher crisscrossed the waters off the Florida Keys. He began in 1969. After a year of searching, nothing. But he was determined to seek. 2 years went by. Nothing. 5 years. Nothing. 10 years. Nothing. 15 years. Many thousands of dollars later. Nothing. And on the 16th year, crisscrossing, searching, diving, 16 years later, in 1985, they finally found the Atocha. And they found an amazing treasure, many millions of pounds. One of the rings that they retrieved from the ship sold for £500,000. Mel Fisher searched. Now, there is a treasure greater than silver or gold. Because silver and gold will never truly satisfy the deep longings and needs and aspirations of the human heart. Because silver and gold will one day perish. But the treasure in God will meet the deepest need of your soul. It is God you should seek. And maybe you're here this morning and you're saying to me, I am seeking the Lord. You're seeking him. You're hoping you'll find him. And you might think a church should be a good place to seek God. Well, what does it mean to seek God? Well, this verse that we've just read in Isaiah tells us something about that. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. To seek the Lord means you beat a path to seek God from your heart. It's not just coming to church once or twice or flipping your Bible open to a page now and again. You seek the Lord. You call upon him. That means you pray. You call on God for salvation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, says the Bible. So you begin to seek God. You realize that you're not close to him because of your sin that separates you from God. And unless God had done something to rescue men and women like us, we would have all remained separated from him forever. But God did do something about it. Thank God. God did do something about it. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world, who lived a perfect life of righteousness and who died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And rose from the dead to prove that he really is God. So you can call upon God this morning from your heart and seek him. Ask him to pardon you. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him through the work of the Holy Spirit to give you new life and to save you. And if you seek the Lord and you call on him like that, the Bible says you will be saved. And if you need some help in understanding that, then come at the end of the service this morning, come to me. Let someone help you to find out and discover what does it mean to seek God and call upon him in this way. And then calling on the Lord also means continuing to call on him in prayer. We call on the name of the Lord to be saved, but we need to carry on calling on him. We call on him for guidance. We call on him for help. We call on him for strengthening. We call on him for renewed cleansing. Are you praying every day? Are you seeking God in prayer every day? Do you attend a prayer meeting? Do you seek God? And Isaiah says, part of that experience of seeking God includes repentance of sin, forsaking your wicked ways and your thoughts. There's no salvation without repentance. A person may say, I want to go to heaven. I want to be a Christian. May join a church. May even get baptized. But the Bible speaks of repentance. If nothing changes, if there's no heart change that results in a change of life, if there's no sign of real repentance, of real change, then that's an evidence. It's not a true faith that the person is exercising. Faith and repentance in the Bible are like twin sisters. Repentant faith, believing repentance. So if God is speaking to your heart this morning, calling you to return to him and seek him, respond to him in repentance and faith. That's a mark of God's grace and working in your life. Don't take it for granted. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. In other words, now. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I like that word, abundantly. I need abundant pardon. There are lots of sins. He will abundantly pardon. You need abundant pardon? Come, says Jesus Christ. He will abundantly pardon. So let's pray together. Lord, we praise you and thank you this morning for that abundant pardon we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our scarlet sins, our crimson sins, washed whiter than the snow by the blood of Jesus Christ. What an abundant pardon we have in Jesus Christ the Saviour. And so we pray, Lord, as we give you thanks for this gospel invitation to come, we pray by the work of the Holy Spirit in every heart, those who hear this word, here in the church building, those who listen online, will even this morning come to the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. Come in repentant faith, for he will abundantly pardon. And we praise you and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing hymn 536. An American preacher called James Montgomery Boyce has written a hymn on the verses that we've been looking at. Come to the waters, whoever is thirsty. Drink from the fountain that never runs dry. Jesus, the living one, offers you mercy. Life more abundant in boundless supply. So we'll stand to sing 536. Let's pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of you and with all God's people today and even forevermore. Amen.